Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today and off of a long hiatus, if you will. So well deserved because Frank and I just work our fingers to the bone for this show. So we needed a little respite and we got it. And now we're back. And so happy that everybody's joining us. Our good friend Steve Johnson, we'll welcome him back as well. He'll be joining us here very, very shortly to talk about all things controversial and Steve Johnson. And of course, we'll talk about the FedEx Cup, the playoffs getting started now, and who's in, who's not, who's favored. Everybody's after Scottie Scheffler. There's Scottie, and then there's everybody else. And they're at Frank's old stomping grounds in Memphis at the St. Jude Championship to kick things off with that. So a lot of stuff to get into. And again, we welcome everybody back. Thanks so much for joining us. As I mentioned, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios, still a part of Tennessee, but not quite Memphis. How you doing, Frank?
We're not quite Memphis. I'm doing great. Yeah, Nashville's totally different than Memphis, I'll tell you.
Yes.
But
yes.
Memphis is beautiful.
You spent a lot of time in both.
Yeah. I grew up on the other side of the river in Arkansas.
Yep.
Just north of Marion, Arkansas. Love it. Love it over there. A lot of history. Memphis is, Nashville actually isn't Music City, folks. Memphis, Tennessee really is. They just didn't get on top of it when they did because it's home of the blues. I mean, all the blues, came up out of Mississippi into Memphis. Yep. Because all of the sharecroppers, the Mississippi Delta, of course, down to Yazoo City, from Memphis down to Yazoo City and across to Greenville and up through Pantherburn, Mississippi, and all sorts of places like that.
But, so was it just bad marketing? I mean, the people back then?
Bad leadership. Totally self-serving leadership in Memphis that caused it to evolve as it has. At Beale Street, I mean, that was it was just like honky-tonks. Like all downtown Nashville, but really good music. I mean, not, your cheating heart. No, it was.
And even if you talk to, if you read as we're going down music road here, U2 and the Stones and other people wanted to record in Memphis.
Absolutely.
And maybe as part of a tribute to Elvis, if you will. And since that's, I think, how a lot of them got the first feel of rock and roll and things like that. But a lot of them are recorded there, even past the
R&B.
The glory days.
Blues to R&B and that, my background. I mean, I have a music degree. So.
Yeah.
That's where I recorded, and those studios are Stax and TMI, Transmaximus, and High Records, and all of those studios there where, we did the Al Green stuff there. We did all the Booker T and the MGs. For our listeners who are a little older that understand that, the Pointer Sisters, everybody. I mean, so Memphis was a music mecca, truly music mecca, and it just kind of went away. Anyway, we didn't
want
to get into a music
thing. Last question about Memphis.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it because of the golf tournament. But I have an acquaintance who was from there and now lives here, and his wife works in the same field as my wife, and blah blah blah. And we were talking recently. We were at dinner, and he said something about Memphis and never have any desire to ever go back. And he kind of started to rail on Memphis, even though it's his hometown and grew up there in high school and everything else. And so my question to you is, since you have been there a lot more than I certainly have, is that common? I mean, do people rip on Memphis? Is it get a lot of
they do
negative things about it, and it's deservedly so? Or what do you?
Well, I don't know if it's deservedly so. I mean, I'm from again. I mean, I was in Memphis all the time because right across the river, a history of raising cotton. We were cotton farmers. Mm-hmm. And Bassett, Arkansas, is where it all was, ran down along the river. And then just right there in Memphis, just 12 minutes away, basically.
Right.
So I spent a lot of time in Memphis. I love Memphis. It has a ton of fun things to do. It's a beautiful city. It's the bluffs there along the Mississippi River are absolutely gorgeous. But to answer your question, yes, people rail on it because it's gone down so much. The crime rate has gone way up. Everyone's moved out that were in like Chickasaw Gardens, where my grandparents' home was. Right there in Midtown Memphis, gorgeous area. Memphis Country Club, beautiful, beautiful place. Like Dallas Country Club, pretty much, same kind of thing, caddies and the whole deal.
Yeah.
But it's gotten so crime-ridden, everyone's moved out to Collierville and then further out to Germantown, that area. That's where Southwind is out in Germantown, Tennessee. Southwind, where they're playing the FedEx, the playoffs today, the St. Jude.
Yeah,
a lot of people do that. I don't do it. I despise the leadership or lack thereof in Memphis.
Well, he said if it wasn't for FedEx, the place would really be in trouble. He said FedEx has kind of kept it employed and kept people there.
FedEx is the biggest employer there. He's absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just the crime. It's just
I don't mean to rail on it.
Go to Memphis, have some fun. Just watch yourself. I mean, the Peabody downtown, historic hotel, beautiful place, a lot of fun. It's kind of a hike from the Peabody out to Southwind every day. But you know, we did the shows live from the Peabody several years ago. The ducks and the whole deal. You know, had the ducks on the show. They were quacking in the background. Shut up, duck. So there. Anyway, this is going to be a fun week. It's another one of my favorite weeks. I will not be, for the first time in forever, will not be in Memphis for this tournament. We have representation there, so we'll get some live reports, but I will not be there for the first time.
It seems like I'd said that, and I'm not joking, even though I kind of laughed about it, but it is Scottie Scheffler, seemingly, again, every week, but Scottie and then everybody else. Kind of in the Tiger era of Tiger, and as Ernie Els famously said, then the rest of us are playing for second. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's accurate?
Or is there
more than just one guy that everybody should be after in this one?
There's more than one guy that everybody should be after. Yeah, Scottie's on one hell of a run. There's no doubt about it. I don't think Scottie will have the run Tiger has because of what Scottie's life is. Scottie is a very devout Christian. He's a fine young man and a family man, and not saying Tiger isn't, you know, I mean, I'm not railing on Tiger, but I think Scottie will do like a Byron Nelson. He'll say, okay, I'm finished. I'm done.
I don't think he
has the drive, and he said it. Golf, he is not defined by golf. Golf doesn't define him.
Right.
So I don't think that he will have the drive to do what Tiger did. Tiger had the drive coming from a different gut. Okay.
Well, and that started with his dad.
Exactly.
When he was five years old, that he was made to be the best. And by God, no matter what, everything else out of the way, you're going to be the best. And that certainly has not been Scottie's career goals and everything. But having said that, he's phenomenally talented.
Obviously, no doubt, do
what he can do. But yeah, it's a good point. I mean, we'll see if he has that longevity, right? Tiger had a great 15-year gap in there, but certainly a great 10-year gap where he was winning routinely 6, 7, 8 tournaments a year and majors after majors after majors.
Yeah.
You know, Scottie's got a ways to go for that. Now, he is still way ahead when it comes to the FedEx Cup points and how that's all. There's Scottie and everybody else is way behind, just like it used to be with Tiger, right? When he was number one, if you remember, Tiger would be number one. Let's say Phil was number two, but he was like half as many points, if you would. I mean, Tiger had such a gap between him and number two in the world.
Yeah.
Scottie's kind of gotten that too. I mean, he's way ahead.
He's
Rory
way ahead
in the world golf rankings.
Well, and Rory is not playing this week, by the way, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where I met him, by the way, many, 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 many years ago with his dad. Had sat down and had beers with Rory and his dad one night. In Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
When he hooked his 3-wood on 18 into the water left off the tee box. He was a little torn down about that. But, hey, you know, speaking of Scottie, though, back up for a minute. Do you know where Scottie is right now money-wise?
As far as the year goes?
Yeah.
Or career? Or what do you mean?
Year. Official money total, currently second highest in a single season on the PGA Tour history.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
I really don't know. You're kind of throwing this at me. But how much has he made this year? I'm going to say Scottie this year, gosh, that's a good question. Is that already at 18 million?
Oh, you're sitting there going, you're on your phone looking it up.
I seriously swear to God, I'm not.
19,202.
Oh, man. I was good.
But
I got close.
I mean, 28,148 in 2024. The season's not over yet. He could pass that.
He runs
the FedEx Cup.
Well, what's the final tour championship isn't it 15, 20 million or something like that?
If he gets, 20, yeah, 20.
If he gets that, if he wins these individual ones, as we're talking about the playoffs, I think are 4 million for first. So, he could easily push 30. And I think with bonus and everything else last year, he had 19
total in 2022-23 season. So
yeah.
Anyway, he's made some money. So
yes. and continue to.
And looking forward to it.
We never talk about his marketing because he doesn't do an awful lot.
None.
like Tiger would do more and more Nike stuff. We don't see Scott.
Yeah, but Tiger did a lot of marketing if you really think back. All the commercials he did for Nike and Tiger was out there from a marketing standpoint. Scotty doesn't do jack.
That's what I'm saying. Tiger did a lot of Nike stuff. You don't see Scotty doing anything. He's all Nike, right? Head to toe as far as apparel.
Oh, yeah.
He's tailor-made. And I guess maybe they use him in some of the TaylorMade commercials when they kind of cut in about five different guys with swings. Maybe he's one of those guys that goes so fast in editing, you're not really sure. But he certainly doesn't do – Tiger used to do some fun – remember when he kind of bounced the ball?
And then hit it? Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah, he did some fun commercials.
I like the building. I like the building when he was doing the windows.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a hell of a commercial,
too. He doesn't, I guess, want to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So you can see Jordan do AT&T commercials and different things, but –
not
maybe
lately.
That's part of Scotty's comment of I'm not all encompassed by golf. Maybe it's just like, you know, I get offers and people want to do that. I'd just rather spend some time with the family, I guess.
Yeah.
So
good for him. Call. Good for him.
You know what? How many millions do you need?
Well, I need about a bunch.
And at this point, if I'm not wrong, Tiger already had the plane, the yacht. Didn't he have a lot of toys kind of going with?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there was a lot of pay going out. He had a lot coming in, but he had a lot going out.
Yeah, Scotty drove an old GMC beater forever. Didn't care.
We've had Randy Smith on his coach a number of times, and he's like, he still drives up in his Yukon from 2011, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
just a beater. I mean, he said the radio didn't work, and the seats were all, the springs were sticking out.
Yeah. Didn't care.
He didn't care.
Didn't care.
Yeah, I love it. You got to love it.
Yeah, so
that would not be you nor me, Mr. Greek Island vacation had.
It's so,
you know,
it's so easy for Scotty to
must be nice to be rich and live in Dallas like you do.
Oh, Frank, God. I'm so rich.
All that money.
Oh, and it's so good. Life is so good.
Those 2-minute cut-ins for sports. You weren't a weatherman.
It was my. My little vacation. It was first time I've been to Greece. First time outside of the airport, in and out of Heathrow a few times, but first time I'd spent some time in London.
Oh, God, what a nightmare that is.
And we had a great time. We had a wonderful time, and I can't tell you how beautiful Greece is as far as the water and swimming and the beaches and all that kind of stuff. People were nice. The food was great. So
Do they wear bathing suits in Greece? I mean, the women?
Not very much of one.
I didn't think so. Yeah,
I don't think people were topless necessarily, they certainly, there was a lot of dental floss.
Love that dental floss.
They do not have full bottoms. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they can't get enough material. These women's bathing suits, but apparently that costs more. So they just
it's like trying to cover a grapefruit with a rubber band. It just doesn't seem to work.
Just a little tiny thing.
No, we do have the dental floss patrol. There's our foursome is called that because at our club when we finish, you know, 18 is right by the swimming pool
and the whole. Look at you.
So we go straight to the pool bar. Straight off of 18, and we're the Dental Floss Patrol.
You're owning this, are you? Okay.
I own it. Absolutely. Yeah. We have a great time.
I will tell you this, too. One more thing about, I'm probably guessing European, but certainly the Greek people. All of them should not be wearing the suits they're wearing.
No. Spandex should only be sold in small.
There is a lot of people that are wearing tiny, tiny bikinis, and they are not tiny, tiny people. And you're like, wow.
Like I said, that's rubber band grapefruit theory just doesn't cover it. You know?
You're just waiting for something to go boing.
Oh my God.
Shoot off. You know, because like, there's no way that thing can stretch that far.
That's a visual that will cause me to go to therapy.
Yes.
Right now. Exactly. I'm out.
And so on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Frank's going to get some more dental floss out. And Steve Johnson is standing by.
It is dental floss. Friend.
He'll have a comment about that. Former partner with Hank Haney and currently director of instruction at Vaquero Golf Club here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Is that a public course?
Steve is standing by. It's so public.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody, just show up.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just show up and get to play whenever you want. Tell him Frank sent you.
Yeah, do not use my name there.
They'll let you on. So we're going to take a quick break. We will come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will be joined by Steve when we come back. Right after this.
I'm here to get a fitting with my new PXG driver. You've got to have the club fitted to your style.
It's important for your swing.
Dead straight. So, what do you say?
I'm going to add 20 grams in the heel.
give me a little bit more hook.
I'm going to go to the 12 and a half gram, which will allow it to be more draw biased.
Oh, yes, definitely more draw. That's the beauty that PXG can do for you. We will adjust your clubs to suit you.
Book your fitting now at PXG.com. PXG, you've never played like this before.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett talking about all things, well, some things golf, some things dental.
Sometimes.
You missed the first segment. You missed out on a lot of exciting things happening at Frank's Country Club, but we digress. Join us now is our good friend Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Golf Club in beautiful, I guess, Westlake, technically, Texas, just north of Fort Worth there a little bit. Stevie Ray J, how you doing today?
Oh, doing great, guys. Doing great. Yep. I'm sorry. I missed the first segment, too.
It was good.
Well, we're talking about
it. Was best radio yet?
You have a pool at Vaquero. You have a pool there, right?
Yes.
Pool area.
Yes.
And so we're talking about when I was just on vacation. I was in Greece, and we were talking about some of the slim swimwear that some of the people wear there, and that got us into talking about that stuff. And
dental floss.
Your pool probably has a few people hanging out at it.
It's a very classy country club guy. Okay. No, I'm sure they don't.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't, the pool's at a little bit different location here than the clubhouse and the driving range. It's not in close proximity, so I don't really get to the pool here much. But let me tell you, Tim and Frank, I went to Laguna Beach a couple weeks ago.
Oh my.
And, it's like the French Riviera there. I mean, no one's wearing anything.
Oh, even better. Road trip.
Yeah.
Road now their tourism's going to go up now that I said that.
All three listeners are heading out there right now.
Did you play golf there, or were you just hanging out, or what were you doing? I know you're from the Southern California area, San Diego.
I grew up in San Diego, so I grew up at a course called the San Diego Country Club, where they're going to be playing the U.S. Women's Senior Open there this week.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I wanted to play it before they're going to redesign it. They're going to reroute it and all that. And I wanted to play it like my last round in the old design. Well, they cut down all the eucalyptus trees and pine trees and all that. And it looks like a park now.
Oh.
It's a lot easier course than it used to be, but the greens are still very tricky. And I enjoyed playing it. So I played golf there. I didn't play golf up in Laguna Beach area, no.
When you were there, did you have any interaction at all with the DP, Paul Dennis?
No.
Good. Lucky you.
The only interaction I had with Dennis is when I'd go to a tournament and he'd be doing the walking commentary with Tim.
Yeah.
And that was about it. A nice guy.
he loves
his job.
Yeah,
I tell you what, I every time I passed one of those guys, especially what was the guy's name from El Paso, Texas, that's still
Fred right? Albers.
Fred Albers.
Yeah. Fred Albers. That's it. Every time I walked by Fred, I'd said, "Hey," whispered in his ear, "We need more Tim Matthews," is what I'd whisper.
And I'd slip you $20.
That was the wrong guy to do that to. That would be displacing Fred.
That probably was the exact opposite thing that which should have happened.
Because there's another guy. I won't mention his name on the air, but you should have been talking to him.
Fred. Yeah.
The fun thing about it was, I mean, Tim and I were at a few tournaments together, and it was a lot of fun. It's fun to be with friends in a setting like that. You're working, but you're having fun too, and I miss that.
Tim was known for having his friends go get him a vodka cranberry and kind of sneak it to him while he was on the air.
I'd be like George Costanza.
Is that a problem? He gets nasty when he gets tipsy. He gets nasty. You know that.
Oh yeah, I've been with him on the Scotch Trail before. Yeah.
Oh man! Matter of fact, I think Steve and I were both in at Silverado together when the fires were coming, weren't we, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah,
remember that? That was like 10 years ago,
great.
Whatever it was. But I remember the forest fires were coming, and they won the tournament at I can't remember who the title sponsor was at the time, but at Silverado in Napa, and the glow of the fires, you know, miles over the hills here, but still we're heading this way. They were like, everybody had to speed up. Here's the check. Here you're going. Everybody make a speed.
Here's your check. Go.
get out of here because they didn't know if the fires were going to switch and the winds change and Silverado was going to be in trouble. So
it burned some of the grandstands, didn't it?
No, it didn't get to the course.
I thought it got there.
No, it didn't get to the course.
Oh, it didn't. Okay, I thought it did.
To the point where you could see it and you knew, you know, like I said, they made everybody, because it's a very tight course with very little country roads almost. So everybody trying to get out at one time would have been crazy. So they're like, please just start heading out so that, you know, we can get people cleared in case there's an issue. Yeah. But anyway, it was just, but that was with Steve when Steve was coaching a couple guys on the tour. And yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. It's always the
people. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And golf in general is a good environment, right? It's just a fun time.
So let's have a good time. So let's jump right to one of the questions that's all over golf talk right now is McIlroy is not playing in Memphis. He just decided, no, I really don't need to. Now, he doesn't have to. He can skip Memphis, and he can skip the next tournament, too, and still go to the Tour Championship, and so can Scotty. But Scotty's playing in Memphis. What's your read on that, guys?
Steve, what do you think, Tim?
Well, I'll say this. Okay, then I'll go.
Okay.
I think Rory wants to work on things. I think Rory is looking for, at this stage of his career, I think he's somewhat in the Tiger mode of he just wants big pieces of pie. He doesn't necessarily need little crumbs. And I think everything but majors, Ryder Cup, FedEx Cup championships, things like that are his goals. And I think he'll do what he needs to do scheduling wise to just eat the big pieces of pie and play for those. And everything else kind of falls to the wayside. So I don't think it's a snub necessarily. I just think it's he'd probably rather work on his game and work on some things so that he's ready for those, for the bigger things. That's my take.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I applaud him for, you know, trying something different. I mean, the standard, like Tiger used to always take the week off before a big tournament, like a major. And you would consider these, not the first two, but the third week, you could consider that a major.
Big deal.
To work on his game and to get his game in shape for the course that he was going to be playing in that major. Maybe Rory's doing that. I know when guys get into their routine, and Scotty's probably in a routine, hey, you know what? I'm going to play X amount of rounds. I do better when I'm playing than just practicing. I think Scotty is really good at practicing for the big tournaments at other tournaments. Doesn't really seem to affect his his performance, but it hurts the PGA Tour when those guys don't play.
Yeah.
Because looking at the FedEx standings here, guys, and I mean you've got great there's no debate that all of these players aren't great players. But let me read a couple names and you tell me, Tim, if you'd walk across the street to watch this guy play golf or if you'd even recognize him. You'd probably maybe recognize him.
Okay.
Number three on the list, Sepp Straka. Number six on the list is Ben Griffin.
Shocking, actually.
Number 12 on the list is Andrew Novak. There's a lot of good players. Oh, number 22 on the list. This is, we're talking top 30 players, is Chris Goddard. I think the PGA Tour is at a point where they need some stars. And yeah.
Stop right there for just a minute, because I have to tell you that it just came out just last night or yesterday. The viewership is way, way, way up. And I can't remember the percentage up for PGA Tour events this year. It's way up.
Really?
Yeah. I saw it and I said, how can that be?
I think, well, here's my take on that. I think Scotty has, and we don't have to make comparisons, just like, you know, Jack and Tiger. Okay, it's apples and oranges to some degree, and it is with Tiger and Scotty. But Scotty's Tiger today, right? I think Scotty's fame, if you will, however you want to look at it, is really expanding and making golf popular. People like it. People talk and raves about him. And I think a lot of it is driven by Scotty, to be honest with you, because Steve's right. If you look at past Scotty and Sepp Straka and Russell Henley's and go on and on and on.
Robert McIntyre.
People don't know who these people are. And Ben Griffin, people wouldn't see him on the street and have any idea who a lot of these guys, and they're top 20 players.
Ron Girard.
I think it all revolves around Scotty. Tiger could carry a lot of glow, if you will, around the PGA Tour, and everybody got caught up in that glow, even if you were a lesser known player, a very good player, but lesser known because Tiger's glow. And I think Scotty's kind of not quite Tiger, but he's gotten that glow. Which
he's got
feeds,
that kind of pull. Yeah.
Yeah. Feeds viewership. It pulls its no vortex. It pulls a lot of people in to find out more about Scotty, to watch Scotty. I have friends that aren't big golfers or something like that. Obviously, I'm in Dallas and that's where Scotty's from. So maybe that's part of it. But people want to know, is Scotty playing this week? What's Scotty?
But so that just floored me, Tim, when I saw that. I was
I wouldn't have been.
I'm like, what? I never guessed that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very strange.
You know, Frank, your analysis of the viewership is up. If the professional golf is going to maximize the effectiveness of these stars, they have got to integrate the live guys back in.
I would think I don't know.
Well, I mean, you got Thomas Peters. Although he's probably on the downside of his careers, Patrick Reed is always he's polarizing guy. You got Dustin. People still like seeing Dustin Johnson. I don't know about Martin Keimer, but I mean Bryson DeChambeau, Paul Casey is a favorite. Sergio Garcia. Phil Mickelson.
Definitely. Kevin
Na is even more of a draw because he's so quirky a lot of these guys that are getting a lot of getting a lot of play, like Cameron Young, great player. You know, it's great that he broke through and finally won a tournament. I hate to say vanilla because it doesn't have to do with the color of his skin. It has to do with, you know what? There's no personality there. And there may be personality off the course, but when he's playing golf, I mean, there's he's not John Rahm, you know. I mean, I think you're hurting the game as a whole. When the PGA Tour was at its best, when we weren't developing, but the players were developing. You had the European players that were, God, they're not necessarily dominant, but it fueled the Ryder Cup. Competition, all that. The guy like Henrik Stenson and Lee Westwood and Ian Poulter and Justin Rose. Even a guy like Bubba Watson. He's missed. He is missed on the PGA Tour. Quirky as anything.
Oh yeah.
But
I want to throw a name out here that I just read something for you guys to comment on too. Is Hudson Swafford was injured a couple of years ago. So he had to lay out. Because he was at LIV, right?
Okay.
The PGA Tour has told him, well, now you can't come back until 2027, if then. But he wants to come back now. Now, no, that's not a big name. That's not a great big name. But yet he's a decent player, and he's trying to come back and wants to come back to the tour. And they're saying no. Now, what that told me, what I read into it, it didn't tell me anything. What I read into it in my conspiracy theory brain. Is that the tour is nowhere closer. In fact, they're probably further away from trying to do anything with LIV Golf. Period.
They might be trying to wait them out, right?
That's exactly my point.
Let's just let them die in the vine.
Yeah.
And let them do their own thing and not.
And that just came out yesterday.
Setting a precedent.
Good point, Steve.
But if that's the case too, then that's bad for viewers. That's bad for fans of golf. Is what we want is the best of the best. And if you guys remember back to the old USFL days when Herschel Walker and Doug Flutie and some other big name guys went and played in another league, right?
Yeah, right.
It wasn't as good. And I wanted to see Herschel Walker. And yeah, Flutie was weird because he was smaller and all that. But I wanted to see those guys playing. And yet they went and played at a different league. It didn't last very long. But to that point, the viewers at some point, the egos of Pontevedra, the egos of wherever the headquarters is for LIV, in Saudi Arabia, they need to put that aside and say, what's best for golf? What are the fans? What do the people in Des Moines want to do who are golf?
They could care less about the people in Des Moines.
They want to see all these guys playing together. And you're right. I don't think they seem to care about what the viewers. This, to me, might be more about who's going to finally win this whole thing. Now, with Monahan moving out, new guy coming in, and maybe it'll change. Maybe there'll be some less animosity.
It's going to be more money-driven now.
Greg Norman's kind of phased out more. He was certainly a guy that people would love to hate and all that stuff. So maybe there'll be more like-minded people to get in charge here that says, okay, let's figure out how we can see Bryson DeChambeau almost on a weekly basis and John Rahm and all these other guys. That's what we really want to see. And we see him at majors and it makes it great, but that shouldn't be the only times we're going to get to see him.
But we don't see Patrick Reed. I'd love to see Patrick Reed in the Ryder Cup. I just really would, but
yes, because he's our Ian Poulter.
He really is.
He doesn't have to do great things regular season wise, but when he gets the Ryder Cup, by God, Ian Poulter would be the guy that would pound everybody. And that's Patrick Reed. And he would let you know, I just made birdie, bitch.
Oh, and you've got the angry golfer. But you got to say you miss Brooks Koepka. You know, I mean, he's always good for a little stirring the pot up.
Sure.
But I mean, fans in general, not just golf fans, but I think fans in general have memories. And it means a lot to see people that they may be a little bit past their prime, like a Graham McDowell or a Henrik Stenson or something like that. But that's why and we'll see in December and maybe early next year when Tiger turns 50 on the 29th of December. If he does play, now a lot of the people that are close to him say he's going to play. I don't know if he is or not.
Champions Tour you're talking about?
That tour, the PGA Tour Champions, that will explode.
Yeah.
I mean, we just had the U.S. Junior, the boys USGA under 18 tournament here in Dallas. And Charlie Woods qualified. He was the medalist at his qualifier in Florida. He came to play. And the first day he played, the first round of competition was at Brook Hollow Country Club. Beautiful course. I think one of the best in Dallas. And there I was there. We played at Trinity Forest that day, my player. I was caddying. And we came over to putt on the putting green, and it just so happened Charlie was making the turn. Well, as he made the turn, about 1,500 people were with him following Tiger and Donald Trump Jr.'s ex-wife and Charlie. Charlie ended up shooting 11 over that day. It wasn't very good performance. In fact, Tiger said that, I said, "Do you like the course?" He said, "Well, Charlie doesn't like it very well today because he's playing he's playing terrible." you know, that we'll see what it means, because Tiger is far from in top form, but people want to see him. I mean, I can remember Arnold Palmer, and Jack Nicklaus didn't play in many senior tour events except the majors. But I mean, if we're talking good for golf, we got to get the best players back together, especially the best European players and the best U.S. players. Now, in 20 years, it may be the best European players, the best U.S. players, and the best Asian players, because Asia's
coming on.
Then they're making their strides in top level golf. They've already done it in the women's tour. The men's tour is coming because they've got the work ethic and the training. Oh yeah, it's coming.
To your point too about Tiger and the champions. There was a lot of talk earlier that he didn't want to, and he even said that because I don't think. And it was you got the feeling it was beneath him. You know, that I'm Tiger and I'm kind of a certain level. But the fact that Jack and a lot of other, almost everybody else did play champions and seniors tour, I think probably makes it more acceptable. Even if you're Tiger Woods, that you can, you know, play with these old guys once you get there. But the other fact is that the Tiger knows has a real hard time with a 7,400 yard course, and the seniors, the champions often play 6,600, 6,700. He can still hit it with those guys and play. So I think there's an appeal to him. And let's be honest, any of us that have ever played anything, any kind of sport, the competition's what you're about, right? You just want to get out there and play, and not just with your buddies and have fun. He wants that competition. And so even if he wins a Champions Tour event that's just a regular non-major, I think Tiger still would enjoy that and still say, you know what, I still want to be in that final group, and I still want to have that adrenaline of trying to make some birdies when I need to. So I think he will play on that. And again, his game, despite his injuries and everything else, I think he can compete at a shorter golf course. By the way, can they ride golf carts?
Not even shorter. Yeah, they can ride golf carts. That's the thing.
I think the riding the golf cart, I saw him on his ninth hole walking at Brook Hollow, which is not a hilly course. It's rolling. Yeah. Yeah. There's some elevation change, but not a lot. And he was limping pretty good.
Yeah, he does limp.
He would have a hard time. I don't even think it's the 7,400 yard courses. I think it's the 7,400 yard or 12,000 step walk every round. That's going to get to him. So riding a cart is, that is an added, that's very much an enticement. Because he would be very competitive. We talked to Ryan Palmer, who's a member here at Vaquero Club, who is at the latter part of his career. He'd love to play on the PGA Tour, you know, another 3 or 4 years. However, he's missed 9 cuts in a row.
How old is RP
and
now?
He comes out here and he shoots. He's 48. He comes out here and he shoots 61 and 60, which is it's not an easy course, and he can't make a cut. So when you feel like you're not very competitive, you find a way to let it slip a little bit, and it's a lot easier when you don't feel competitive. It's a lot easier to say, hey, you know what? I'll just try again next week, and I'll just ride this one out. Not part of Tiger's DNA to say, hey, you know what, I'm just gonna give up here. His father instilled that non give up in him many years ago. When you don't feel competitive, it's a lot easier to cash it in than when you feel competitive.
Let me ask you guys another question here. Steve, you got to go in a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah,
like now.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is such a random off subject, but let's get into it. Either of you guys see Happy Gilmore 2? And I mention that because almost everybody we've talked about is in Happy Gilmore 2.
I thought it sucked.
Every cameo you could ever imagine.
I thought it was horrible.
I think it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
I hated it.
And it's free. Well, it's on Netflix. If you've got Netflix, it's not like
I would imagine I wouldn't pay to go see it. I cut it off 2/3 through. I said, nope, done. This is stupid.
It appeals to the high school, middle school kids.
It really does.
I mean, every adult that I've
and the high kids, you know,
they don't like it. But all the kids love it.
I'm just saying to the people out there listening: if you haven't, don't bother. You'll lose brain cells. Even if you have Netflix, it's a waste of 2 hours. My wife looked at me and she goes, "Is this at all funny?" Like she's thinking you might be enjoying this. I go, "No, it's horrible." I'm waiting for
just go watch Tin Cup again.
It's like, John Daly's got a few good lines in there. He's the co-star. And it tells you how good it is. Adam Sandler and John Daly have the most lines.
Daly was kind of funny. He was.
John had some fun. He lives on his.
But
his
I didn't
garage.
Appreciate Jordan Spieth's lines that they gave him about drinking and stuff. He's not a drinker. I mean,
no.
And I was like,
he's
what?
In there. Scotty's actually pretty good in there because they let Scotty go to jail. Right, that was pretty funny. They had Scotty, so that part was funny. Scotty,
but that was about it. Anyway,
hanging up.
And you're wrecking the whole story for us, man.
Sorry.
Right. Steve hasn't seen it. That's right.
Don't watch it.
Hey,
don't
waste your time.
I got to run. I got to run, or I'm gonna lose my job, or I'll be able to go on every day with you guys.
We'll get the band back together.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Take care, man. We appreciate
See
it.
You, Steve.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. All right. See you. Steve Johnson, again, director of golf at Vaquero Country Club in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So, yeah.
It was so bad. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. These guys just rely, Frank. And I'd say the same thing about almost every SNL alum who does movies. There's just a formula. And they all figure it out. And their agent says, just keep doing Will Ferrell-type movies. And Will Ferrell will still make – and he does. And they'll make money. But there's very few that are ever any different. You could take Happy Gilmore and change it for almost any title that Adam Sandler's ever been in.
Yeah.
Certainly Billy Madison. They're the same movie. It's the same stupid delivery that he gives for everything. It's just stupid.
It's not intelligent humor. You know what I like? I like Robin Williams. That's just fabulous. If you want to have some fun, go to YouTube and pull up some of the Johnny Carson appearances he had.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's got Carson crying. He's laughing so hard.
Yeah.
The guy was just so quick. The stupid humor stuff, Rodney Dangerfield got away with it and Back to School. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm not
Triple
against,
Lindy, you know, and all that crap.
I'm not against stupid humor. I mean, sometimes that dumb stuff is funny, right? I get it. And it's lowbrow and all that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is. It's just when it's Adam Sandler, and just this particular, he's just the same guy. If you've seen an Adam Sandler movie, you've seen them all.
I know.
It's just the same dumb stuff every time. I mean, give me a little something different. Something.
No, it's
I've never been a Sandler fan.
He plays in construction boots in a Bruins jersey, and he takes three steps into his drive, and he hits it 480 yards.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, sure he does. Yeah. And I know you're not supposed to be.
By the way, wait a minute. Have you seen this new putter shaft that's out on the market right now? It's like a hockey stick. It's built like a hockey. It's some hockey company that's building it. I'll have to look into it and get the name. No, not a putter head on the end. It's the shaft is like a hockey stick.
But the head of it is too, like it's a hockey blade.
No, not like that. No, it's like a putter. But the shaft itself, you know how everybody wants this $500, $400 putter shaft that's out now. I can't remember the name of it. I'm not going to plug them because I play PXG.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's whatever.
I haven't seen it.
Whatever. Anyway,
it's all because of Happy Gilmore.
Oh hell, who knows? I mean, who knows?
Anyway,
but anyway, the FedEx Cup. This is it. Start of the playoffs. Going to be good. It's in Memphis. I'll take the over tomorrow. And under. Okay, 17 balls in the water this week. Want the over or the under?
Over.
You'll take the over.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be more than that. I think it'd be more than that. I think Spieth will put five of them there.
Oh, God. we love Jordan Spieth.
That's my
Everybody
prediction.
Knows that. So.
Yeah, well we do.
But I don't know.
Jordan's got to start winning some golf tournaments.
He's got to do something.
You know?
And here,
it's the Max Homa thing, too, right? I mean, the golfers go through these things.
Max Homa broke my heart. Broke my heart this year.
You're up there, and you're big, and you're doing things, and you're Ryder Cup, and you're all that stuff. And then it's not, and you change coaches, and you do things. I get it. That's part of golf. I just don't – I reiterate, Jordan's got to try some different things. He just keeps going down the same road. And he had a surgery, but it's been a year now, and he's had a surgery, and he still gets top 20 finishes and all that, but he can't put four rounds together. You know, he opens a tournament like he did last week with a 65. He's in the hunt, but then he comes back with a 70, 71, 68, and he finishes tied for 23rd or something. That's, you know,
well,
you can't be a superstar. And Jordan Spieth's name is a marquee name, but you can't get that with top 20, top 25 finishes. That shouldn't, you know, he's got to start earning his notoriety here, in my opinion. So we'll see if Memphis might be the place for him. It'll be hot as blazes there.
Oh my God. It's this time of year in Memphis, even in Nashville, but Memphis even worse because Memphis is a river bottom. I mean, it's Memphis is built on bluffs. In fact, one of the lines they used to use in about the politicians there is Memphis is a city that's built on a bluff and run the same way. And that's that Rick Dees said that on the air, if you remember that name.
Yeah,
and he was fired from WHBQ in Memphis 2 days later. That was it. He was gone. He went up to California, and he recorded Disco Duck.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much. In your face.
Yeah.
So,
no, but it
yeah,
it is
Memphis
steamy,
is brutally hot.
You'll see a lot of guys with their backs just stuck to their shirts.
Well, they'll change shirts.
Back.
They'll carry two shirts or three shirts in their bag.
Yeah, remember those days when Tiger would actually change shirts?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Don't see that happen.
Well, they do that in Memphis. Anymore. I mean, it's brutal. Even you didn't. You've never called golf in Memphis. I have with Doug Bell two times, riding with Doug, and oh my God, it was brutal.
It's so that'll be part of it, right? It's going to be a physical fitness thing too. You know, guys, you have to be in shape because you're going to be walking and hitting balls. It makes you wonder too. And I've said this before about golf in general. I think some of the guys maybe have to get a little bit smarter about. I don't need to hit 2 hours before I play. Then play 5 hours and then hit 2 hours after I play and then do it again tomorrow and do it again. You know, your body knows what it's doing. And I get you don't want to just hit three balls and warm up and go to the tee, but
chip and putt.
They kind of overdo it sometimes. Yeah. And with this kind of weather and everything else, it's like save your body a little bit. By the way, we were talking about Rory versus Scotty and my philosophy about Rory's now kind of focusing on just the big things. Rory's now 36. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah.
Who used to be the young buck is no longer really the young buck.
You know,
he's closer to 40 than he is 30. Scotty's 29. That sneaks up on you. And suddenly you kind of realize, man, I've been playing professional golf for 15 years already. And I think Rory's kind of at that point where he just wants the big apple. Right? Yep. He just kind of wants to have as many.
But here's the point about this tournament to bring it down to a serious level.
I hate to do that.
I know, but. You said, who is the largest employer? Excuse me just a minute. I had to clear my throat. Sorry. Who's the largest employer in Memphis? Of course, it's FedEx.
FedEx?
Who is the largest sponsor on the PGA Tour? That would be FedEx.
FedEx?
Who just died? The founder and CEO of FedEx.
Yeah.
Now, why wouldn't a lot of these players say, wait a minute, we're at least going to go just go over and play in a pro-am or do something, make an appearance
to honor
Fred Smith for all he did for golf?
Yeah. Yet, didn't really see it. Is that what you're saying?
Sorry. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's inappropriate. Yeah, they'll do something. NBC has it. Tirico, they'll do a special thing on Fred Smith and all that. But the players, the guys who are raking in the money because of FedEx, basically, putting up all this money, I don't know. And I knew Mr. Smith. Okay. And
Not a bad point that it's, you know, sometimes they forget from whence they came.
Exactly.
They all want to be on the tour. They all want to get there. Then they get there and they kind of forget about who helped them to get there. And by the way, these guys now are making great livings. You know, I mean, they're up there with the NFL and NBA guys that are making kind of ridiculous money. And not that.
Well, the sponsor money they make is incredible.
But it's a hell of a living. And I'm not just talking about Scotty and Rory and Jordan. I mean, it's a hell of a living if you can keep your card, right? You got to keep your card. But if you can keep your card, and JJ Spahn has proven any given week, right? Magic happens, and then suddenly you're elevated to a whole different level. It's a great.
And we get mad when we play and shoot a 74 or 75 one day, and the next day we shoot a 90. You know, well, guess what? You know, I think somebody named Paul Stankowski has proven that that can happen, and a lot of other players. Paul told us about that. He said, "I just shot a 68, and the next day I blow it up."
But Frank, who was it last week? I'm trying to think of at the Greensboro tournament that I'm forgetting the name of.
The Wyndham.
Somebody on a 9. Did you see the difference in? And it's a known guy. I just can't come up with his name. He shot, if I'm not mistaken, 41-29 in one round. I mean, I get it from round to round. Those guys that shoot 62 and then come back with a 75, and you're like, how does that happen from day to day? This was within the same round of 18 holes. He shot a 41-29.
Back's easier.
Isn't that crazy?
Is the back easier?
I mean, holy
not that
smokes.
Easy. I don't know who that was.
It was like a 12 shot swing.
Was it Ricky Fowler? No.
No. No, but I'll go research it and find out. But it was, you know, again, it was a guy that we've all heard of. You know, it wasn't Xander necessarily or something, but it was, you know, somebody that is, you know, a pretty decent player, Wyndham Clark or something like that. 12 shots in one round. I was like, holy, that sounds like me. Oh, yes. Anyway, anything can happen. But my point was that they make a great living, and you're right, they should. And a lot of them do give back. I get it. But it's to the point of, you know, honoring Fred Smith because FedEx has done so much.
Oh, absolutely.
By the way, one last note too.
FedEx saved Memphis. You're right. It really has.
A tribute to FedEx, but also a tribute to Ian Baker Finch. We saw last week.
I was in tears.
At the Wyndham. His final farewell as he retired, CBS's final broadcast. So Ian Baker, after virtually 35 years or so of broadcasting and doing his thing, is called it quits. And anyway, so our hat's off to him too. We'd like to.
That was CBS's last broadcast of the season for golf.
Right. Right.
He's retiring. Right. But I was okay watching it. I mean, I got a little melancholy listening to him and through the whole thing. But then when Frank Nabilo came on, and we all know Frank real well, and Frank's kind of a tough guy.
Yeah.
And old Nabilo just started boohooing right on the air. And I was like, okay, then I lost it. I'm like tears, you know. And, oh my God, Nabilo, give me a break.
Yeah. Well, they all.
And Nance did too. Nance started choking up.
Yeah. They all said they're nice things. And I think that is as much as anything. Just because people are on TV doesn't mean that they're all that you see them to be. There are people that are on that aren't necessarily the nicest people in the world. And you wouldn't know it because you just don't know. But if you're known behind the scenes, you'd kind of realize, that guy's a horse's ass kind of guy. But he pulls it off because he's on the air.
Not Ian Baker
in this case, Ian Baker is just a wonderful guy. And everybody knows that. And off the air, on the air, he's just a wonderful guy, great family man. And he wants to spend more time with his family, his grandkids and all that kind of. And I don't blame him. It's like, that's cool. You know, it's a tough schedule. And it seems like it's fun. And it is to go do broadcasts and all that. But it takes time to do it. And
he was always so nice to me out on the road when I first started doing this. He was just so nice, and I would, you know, take my bride with me on occasion, and he would come over. We'd all be staying in the same hotel most of the time, and he would always come over and sit down with us and just come join us, you know, talk to us.
Very nice guy.
Super, good. Super good. So, Navalo was that way too.
Right. And that's why he got all those tributes. You know, I mean, he had a lot of people on air saying, hey, thanks, Ian Baker, and all the stuff in Virginia. And it's because he is a cool guy. So just wanted to acknowledge that he was
absolutely
here. I had to, when I was hosting the Payne Stewart Cup for the SMU golf team, we had different players to come in and talk about Payne Stewart and all that. And Ian Baker was one of them, 1 year. And he broke down then talking about Ian, because they lived together near each other, very in the same neighborhood in Orlando. Ian couldn't get through telling stories about Payne Stewart without tearing up and everything.
Where did Payne live? Lake Nona?
Cool guy. I don't really know.
Or Innsworth. One of the two.
It might have been
Innsworth.
Yeah, Innsworth. I think it was Innsworth. And there's quite a few golfers I think in that.
Poulter lives at Lake Nona. Yeah.
But Ian said that they were literally around the corner from each other for years and years, and so they are very, very good friends. So anyway, good guy. And so we won't see any more of Ian Baker, although I guess he'll pop in once in a while, they said, for bigger events, maybe, you know, Ryder Cup, different things.
I liked what he said. He said, well, Jimmy, I'll come back maybe if you'll get me something better than a grounds pass. That sounds like you and me. A minute. I don't have clubhouse.
Security.
What is this?
Security.
Yeah, anyway.
So, okay, there we go. So that's our final farewell.
All right, brother.
Congratulations. Yep.
Absolutely.
Good career.
All right, man. Well, I'm glad you had fun in Greece and made it back safely.
Got here.
We'll watch the watch live from Memphis all weekend. I'll be glued to the TV, of course, since I can't be there.
Can't wait. Every big name, with the exception of maybe one or two. Every big name in golf will be there. And a few live guys that, we keep pushing it, Frank, and maybe one day somebody will listen to us and just say, just get together somehow, make it work.
Or at least hire Tim and I to come over and do live golf commentary.
You know, well, it's all they need to do is some, right? Just allow some. They don't have to play every week. We get it. None of these guys play every week.
No.
But just let them play in the signature events or do whatever, and let Scotty go play in a live tournament if you want. I mean, it would be great for golf, right? Those live fans are going to go.
Well, but the live has teams, so now you got to work through that.
Yeah, I guess.
And those teams are owned by the captains, and then they sell sponsorships, and so now you've got a different dynamic.
And maybe that's part of the problem, right? It's like, well,
could be.
We'll let you come play here, but they can't come play at live tournaments and make money, right? Because those guys would love to go play for $4 million. I mean, the live purses are pretty damn nice.
Yes,
you get a tie for third, and you're making $850,000. So it's like
it's a signature event every week or more.
So it's like, okay, well, can our guys go play? Well, you can't really play on our tour.
You know, every time I've been to a live event and I've been, you know, talking to the players and, you know, hanging out with them, and they're all in great moods and they're all laughing and having fun.
Yeah.
You go to a PGA Tour event, it's pretty stressful. Those guys don't hang out with you and laugh and joke and backslap and have a cold beer.
It's a lot more serious.
Yeah.
Like there's more tension.
Well, there's more pressure on the PGA Tour, I think.
There's less tension for the live guys. They do have, and the fans have a great time too. And that was kind of one of the emphasis for even starting live golf is it needs to be more fun, so that the 25-year-olds, not necessarily the 65-year-olds, but the 25-year-olds are going to want to go spend their money and come hang out. So there's blaring music and there's little cool things over here, and you got a hitting bay, or you're going to. That's what they do at a live event.
And it's everyone I've been to, the 65-year-olds and up, love it too.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it.
Yeah. So that's got to be the combination of saying, okay, how do we incorporate all of the good stuff of golf into everybody's tour so that we all have a good time and everybody enjoys. And there's money to be made. You know, there's and that's what drives everything. We know that. We always say it. You know, whatever else you want to talk about, it always comes down to money. So,
yes, it does. Yeah.
Make it work. Make it work.
It's going to be a good tournament this week. I'm thinking Scotty Scheffler, but you know, I'm going to go out there on a limb and think Scotty Scheffler, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to actually go with somebody different, and I think it's going to be, you know, I think is due for something is Xander. Xander hasn't done an awful lot.
Yeah, but his games, it's look at this.
But that's kind of golf sometimes, isn't it? The guy who's like, man, he just hasn't.
Well, yeah.
Suddenly you're going,
for
wow,
you and I,
pull
is.
That out.
For
yeah,
sure.
Pull that out. So I'm going to go with Xander.
Are you sure you don't want to grab Johnny Vegas on this one?
Which means Xander's going to shoot 81 in the open range.
Probably. Probably. Yeah. I know Scotty won't do that. So.
Yeah. No.
That ain't going to happen. Okay, you're taking the over on balls in the water. And so this course has more balls in the water every year than every other PGA Tour tournament.
It does.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get out of here, you know?
Yeah. Let's get out of here. Let's
thank some people or something.
All right, let's think PXG. You love PXG, Frank?
Absolutely. Best clubs made. The Allen putter, love it. Love everything about our friends at PXG and their apparel is phenomenal. Love it. Thank you, PXG.
A lot more than just golf. Golf balls, golf apparel,
yep.
You name it.
Balls are great. Yeah.
And where are you going to take that apparel? You're going to take it to your invited clubs. Check out invitedclubs.com. Frank and I are members. They have clubs all over the country. You too could be a member. Just check them out first and see if what we talk about is true, because we're not lying to you. You can check it out yourself at a club. Just go to invitedclubs.com, find one near you, kick the tires, and next thing you know, you're going to be like Frank and I, enjoying invited clubs. All right, that should do it for us. Thank you to Steve Johnson for joining us as well. Thanks to all of you for listening. So for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. And remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.